Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our seventh episode of Blip Bytes podcast. I'm Ram Ronquillo, the tech editor from Gadget Pilipinas. I am joined by editor-in-chief Emma Tortosa and PC lead Grant Soriano. Unfortunately, tonight, Migs, our news writer, is feeling under the weather. I hope he feels better soon. You know, how's everyone today? Anong balita sa inyo?
I'm good. Eto, naininig ko yung echo. Nakakapala yung YouTube somewhere. But anyway, I'm good. Super busy week for me, but para sa mga fans natin, podcast pa rin.
Podcast pa rin. Siyempre. Ikaw, Gren, anong ang balita sa'yo?
Actually, it's a super active week, especially that Computex now is up. So, fortunately, it's a bit sad that it's, I think, second or third year that weren't able to go there. No, so hopefully next year, maka-attend na. And of course, speaking of events, I've just been to the recent Stockholm Major viewing party. Shouts to Intel for doing a physical event. And of course, weeks before, we had events from MSI and Lenovo, no, with their recent 12th gen launches. So those news event and articles are available at our site, www.gadgetpilipinas.net. And of course, kamusta ra?
Ako, okay ako. It's a busy day in the news front. As you said, it's Computex and daming balita, and daming VR. Man, I'm trying to manage everything. Actually, may naisip ako, no? Dahil since halos every episode may kape ka dyan. Anong coffee of the day mo?
Actually, I've just been ordering Tim Hortons iced coffee for almost
every day. Hindi ka nag-iiba?
Hindi. Minsan lang. When I'm at the store, minsan nagtitry ako French vanilla or other flavor. But normally, I'd go for the large iced coffee. And of course, since napag-usapan na, so hindi ako araw-araw mo order. So I usually order 5 pieces in a week. So nire-ref ko lang. It lasts naman. Para makatipid din sa delivery.
Delivery, oh.
So, Tim Hortons.
Baka naman, diba?
Yes.
Before we get started, you know, with the discussions, I'd like to have a moment of silence for Huawei. They recently confirmed that, you know, their partnership with Leica has ended.
Yeah.
It's not our topic for tonight, but I just had to... I just had to, you know, give it a shout out today.
Yeah.
For respects. Just a moment of silence. when I was writing the news article, it was like, oh my god. For more on that, you guys can wait for Week in Tech with Master Grandmaster Boss Chief Giancarlo Viterbo. It should come out on Thursday, so he'll talk about one of that. You can also check out the website, gadgetpilipinas.net. With that said, today's topics, actually, it's not as varied. It's not as intense, I guess, as the last episode. If you guys saw their posts, we're talking about the new processors that came out. We'll be focusing today on Qualcomm, MediaTek, and AMD. So Qualcomm and MediaTek, of course, are some of the most, I guess, popular brands and top brands when it comes to smartphone chipsets, especially in Android. And MediaTek released its Dimensity 1050, Dimensity 930, and Helio G99. I think the biggest ticket here would be the 1050, since, you know, I'm a simple man, it has a higher number. It basically, it's our first chipset that combines the mm wave, the millimeter wave 5G, and sub 6 gigahertz connectivity. This is pretty interesting for me, since I wrote it, because most chipsets, as far as I know, most 5G chipsets have one or the other 5G connectivity, but this one has both, which means manufacturers don't need to choose one or the other. It's already there. I think it's convenient for phone manufacturers, and it's, you know, very convenient for us consumers. It is set to come out on the third quarter of this year. Some of its features include Full HD Plus display up to 144 Hz refresh rate, Dolby Vision, HDR10 Plus. It's built on a 6-nanometer process. It has confirmed to have 2 ARM Cortex A78 performance cores, clocked at 2.5 GHz, and ARM Mali G610 GPU. Honestly, I am not the most knowledgeable on these. I'm more of a how does it perform in the real world, but I'm interested to see how the manufacturers make use of the combined 5G connectivity. Kaya ba? Anong masabi niya? Grant?
parang kasi we're talking about the new chipset and CPUs, so yeah. I'm hyper focused on
the PC
on the PC side, yeah. But for CPUs for the mobile space at least, parang it's a normal growth on the CPU side of things. I don't think there's something parang special with these new products, but yeah. Of course you're free to correct me if I'm wrong, no, since I'm not that into the mobile space as much as you guys.
Mm-hmm.
But so long as they're pushing the envelope, no, for what's next, kasi I think the competition is still so-so, or I think it's still a status quo for these companies, no, Samsung, MediaTek, Qualcomm, and I hope they do develop something that edges, or that something that makes them stand out, no, for the competition. Yeah. For example, for Samsung with the AMD partnership, I hope something fruitful will come out of that, no. And for the new MediaTek and Qualcomm devices, I really don't have much to comment on, except that I think we'll have those in our labs pretty soon, no, with the new phones that will come out.
For sure. So,
yeah, that's it for me.
Ikaw ba, man? Anong, like, are you from? Do you use 5G actually?
No, actually, I haven't tried. I have a 5G phone, but I don't have a 5G SIM kasi, so I haven't actually tried. Actually, that's a good reminder, no, that I have to get, you know, myself a 5G SIM.
Yeah,
it's a good thing, I guess. It's the usual, no? It's the usual season that, you know, bagong processors and syempre new technology, faster. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be, of course, faster and more efficient, no? So, well, what can we look forward to? Of course, one of the few things that I look forward to when whenever there's a new processor is, of course, the thermal performance.
True.
Syempre, as the power increases, no, as more, you know, it becomes more powerful or more power hungry, no? Yun naman lagi yung concern, actually, especially for people who play games on their phones, no? Kasi yun yung pinaka resource intensive thing that you can actually do with your phone, at least for the time being. So it's gonna be interesting to see how these chips perform in the real world, sabi mo, ha? And not just, you know, gaming performance and day-to-day performance, but also yun, yeah, thermal performance would also be one of the things to watch out for. And also battery life efficiency, how efficient they are, no? Kasi the thing with the last generation, I think with one of the, at least from my experience, is that yung ibang brand, what they did was they shrunk down on the battery size, no, or battery capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they bet it all on software and yung efficiency ng chip, no.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, well, at least from one of the phones that I use, no, I wasn't gonna even mention one of phone, but it sort of works in a way, no, parang mm-hmm. it's good at managing the battery despite it's high refresh rate screen, no. But I don't think it's still as good as something with, you know, a larger battery capacity.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's still work to be done in terms of maybe on the AI side as to how it manages your resources, to how it keeps processes in the background, how it shuts down those apps that are not needed, no? Kasi mm-hmm. merong mga brands that, you know, have software features na they shut down yung mga background processes automatically, no, without even you specifying kung ano yun, no? So intelligently it shuts it down, no. And then also one of the things is yung how it controls your refresh rate, no. Kasi usually merong mga, at least sa flagships, no, merong mga options for adaptive refresh rate.
Mm-hmm. No?
So that means depende sa kung anong ginagawa mo, mag-adjust yung phone, no. So it's also interesting to see kung ano yung mangyayari with the new chips, no.
Mm-hmm.
How well it will manage that, how the AI will manage yung iba-iba kasi yung behavior niyan, eh. May ibang phone that when you're on idle, it still maintains the high refresh rate, no, for the screen. Mm-hmm. And may mga phone naman that goes down to pinababa niya yung refresh rate. Yeah, depende sa panel mo yun. If your panel is LTPO, then you can go down to 1 hertz, no?
Mm.
But if it's not, then there's like a fixed levels of refresh rate that it goes to, like 60, 90, and 120.
Yeah.
And I also saw, na-mention na rin dyan sa ibang article, you can just see it there, mm-hmm. 144 hertz port, no? 144 yep. hertz, so it's gonna be exciting to see, no, phones going up to 144 hertz na, no, as a standard.
Yeah,
no? As a standard. I think there are already phones that have already reached that, no, from certain brands, but
mm-hmm.
hindi pa siya ganun ka mainstream, kumbaga. Very very few. No? Usually these are flagships.
Yeah. No?
So it will be interesting to see na even yung mga higher mid-range, mga premium mid-range,
hmm.
and also breach that 120 to 144 refresh rate, no?
Yeah.
And of course, you know, the hope that I have is that, you know,
yeah.
the software side can catch up with, you know, kasi again, ito na naman tayo sa phase na lumalakas na naman yung mga processors, but what actually can you do to take advantage of that?
Mm.
Parang, is there anything that can actually take advantage of the more powerful processors today? Kasi nga, di ba, parang kahit nga siguro naka-ano ka pa ngayon, kahit siguro mga naka 768G ka ngayon or naka sabihin natin Dimensity 1100,
mm.
you're still good for actually, siguro na, sabihin natin 95% of apps there. No? That are usually used. Maybe all of the popular games, di ba? So again, it's a matter of sana, you know, sana games or apps, sana yung mga developers can also focus on, you know, updating their apps to take advantage of the technology that these chips offer, you know? And yun, and hopefully 5G begins to be, you know, parang trickle down na siya to the more parang affordable devices.
True.
Kasi now it's still available sa ano ba? Still in the upper mid range, no?
Yeah.
Upper mid range pa rin siya. So we still cannot find 5G in you know, siguro sub 10K devices ganun. But maybe that's like a design limitation or hardware limitation.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully pag
magiging normal rin siya.
Magiging ano na, maging afford, mas affordable pa siya for a lot of people. And of course that goes with sana yung networks natin mas mukhang gumawa pa yung coverage ng 5G. So there's a lot of things to look forward to, no? As you know, as X, parang sabihin natin parang predictable as it seems, no? Mm-hmm. Kasi wala ka namang ano pa ba may expect mo sa processor. May hindi naman lilipad yan, di ba?
Mm.
So di ba, syempre, i-expect mo bibilis, less init, hopefully. And, you know, more battery life, better camera support, better ISPs probably, 8K support probably, no? Video, maybe something higher than 60 FPS, no? Marami tayong pwedeng expect, no, from this year. And it's gonna be a fun Q3 and Q4.
True. Yeah. Very true. It's exciting.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun Q3 and Q4. Anyway, again, if you guys wanna check on the details, no, nasa website namin lahat, solinggadgetreviews.net.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also follow Gadget Reviews on Facebook.
Yeah.
And then that yet.
True. So, you know, just in passing, kasabay ng 1050 is the Dimensity 930 and Helio G99. So these are the 1050 is, I'm guessing, around premium mid, like high mid maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Dimensity 930 and Helio G99 are more mid, actual mid. With the G99 targeted for more gaming, quote-unquote gaming-centric phones, which nowadays, like, I like, no shade to any phone manufacturer, no, but I think, like, all the devices, regardless if they're targeted, targeted for gaming or not, people use it for gaming, so...
Yep.
Wala siyang, like, the difference isn't as big as it used to be. It's not like desktops or anything.
Yep.
Na parang kita min difference between a gaming PC or a gaming laptop and a non-gaming laptop or PC. Pero sa phone, parang as long as your phone has a decent chipset, it has a good amount of storage and RAM, you can play Mobile Legends, which is everyone's go-to, right?
Yep. Actually, ano pa nga, nakakalito na nga yung theory niya, if you actually
do. Yeah, true.
Kasi before, at least for MediaTek, no, yung 1200 was their flagship, no? And now, meron na silang 9000, no? There's a Dimensity 9000 na. So, what will happen to the 1300? Meron pang 1300, di ba? May 1300, may 1050, may 1200.
May 900.
Actually, that's a good that's a good thing. Maybe we can actually ask them because we have contact.
Yeah, true.
We can actually ask them for the theory. Pero nakakalito na.
Pero to be honest, like in a general smartphone landscape, the insight is that it didn't. No longer is it you have an entry level, mid tier, and the flagship, because even the flagship now has its own there are more tiers in flagship. There's even more tiers in mid range.
Yep.
And then you have your entry level, which you can kind of segregate as well into actual entry level, and then you have the ones that are just budget friendly. So, I. As much as I like the diversity of options in the Android space, I am, like, my mind is just blown away. Like, I can't comprehend anymore, like, which tier this belongs to.
Yep. I think we should get a proper, you know, parang chart for that.
Oh, diba?
Like, we need that.
The thing with that as well is that sometimes, as much as the chip maker has a tiering system for their chipsets, even the phone manufacturers have their very own, like,
yes, that's true.
It's quite complicated as a topic. I think, like, for those that are listening and watching and kind of don't get what I'm saying because you're not too much into phones, right? I think the best way to put it is, like, it's like music. Like, before you just had rock and, like, pop and that kind of shit and that kind of stuff. But nowadays, like, there's so many sub-genres within the big genres. And it's, like, very, very confusing. It's roughly the same when it comes to the phones nowadays. Like, gone are the days, like, I think the best example for me would be, like, Realme or, like, Samsung. Mm-hmm. Wherein Realme before only had their, C series, which is their entry, their number, which was their flagship-ish. And I think that was it. They have a mid. Oh, no, they didn't have a flagship. They had the number, which is mid. And then, like, Samsung is roughly the same with the S series as their flagship. And then they had A, I think. And there's tiering and then there's sub tiering, and I think nowadays, like, sub tiering, and all just confusing, even for someone that tries to keep updated with all these phone manufacturers. Like, going back to the 930 and the G99, they both support up to 120Hz Full HD Plus, which is pretty interesting because as Emma said earlier, the higher refresh rate looks to be a norm. Like, I think a lot of the smartphone makers now are shifting into, like, higher resolution. Like, how often? I rarely see nowadays phones with, like, standard refresh rates. At least most phone companies bring it down to at least 90, you know.
Yeah,
but I think 120 is a good sweet spot while still staying relatively affordable. The difference between 930 and G99 is G99 is LTE and the 930 is a 5G chipset. Again, these are things that, unless you're really into this kind of stuff, you kind of have to wait for a device to come out. And the 930 is expected to be, like, a device that powered by the Dimensity 930 will come out in Q2 of this year, which is this quarter. And the Helio G99 is said to come out quarter three, so that's next quarter. Again, like, 1050... 930 and Gina, I don't know the difference. we'll probably find out once we get a device that runs on it and we do our own benchmarks and all that stuff, because honestly, just so many of them out there nowadays.
I know.
I think there are more chipsets. Qualcomm and MediaTek chipsets compared to, like, chipsets of the PC space. Would you say so, Mr. Grant?
Excuse me, sorry.
Good. Yeah. Do you think there are more smartphone chipsets over processors? Over PC processors?
Considering you have more brands competing on the mobile space versus what you see on the desktop space, versus basically Intel and AMD, and might as well throw in Apple for extra credit. I think there's more CPUs and of course chipsets on the mobile space.
Yeah,
but I think parang architecture wise, or what I would say, parang yung specific silicon.
Yeah,
I think it's far less, kasi you say you have these different chipsets, diba, or CPUs na Dimensity something number. It might just actually sorry, di ko alam.
Yeah, it's totally fine.
It might be just one die na, so isang processor lang talaga yan that gets artificially locked. diba? For example, you have the two CPUs, sabihin natin tier 5 and tier 7. Difference ang nila is clock speeds, but they basically have the same core count, diba? But of course, it's marketed as a different CPU, ganyan na lower power, which is kaya nga siya lower power because they have different core counts or basically clock speeds, diba? So, I think when you dig deeper or when you dissect each line, it's probably just one CPU for the entire line or two CPU for the entire, since yung physical cores are still there but are actually parang in artificially locked. And yun nga, yung design mismo yung important to know these things. And I think there's no news naman sa CPUs sa phones that have cases where you can unlock your processor mismo to a higher tier, unlike yung news yung news last time with AMD Intel Pentium and of course AMD Athlon CPUs, diba? But yeah, sa sobrang bilis ng cycle ng mobile CPUs, I don't think there's many variations na actual real variations on a physical level. It's mostly locked but on a firmware level lang. So to answer, final answer is yes, in terms of model names, yes, mas maraming CPU, but I think in terms of yung physical die or yung silicon yung gamit ng per CPU, yung as in the die itself, not the model, yung the architecture, yung kung ano yung chip mismo, I think it's quite even na lang. I think it's a safe answer considering you have more brands on the mobile space.
Interesting insight. I've never thought of it that way, honestly. So that's very, very interesting insight. I think with you know, MediaTek, they're up against Qualcomm, and Qualcomm released their latest flagship, I guess it's called the Snapdragon 8 Plus Gen 1, and followed up with Snapdragon 7 Gen 1, which is their mid-tier chipset. Snapdragon 8 Plus Gen 1 is just 30% more efficient and is set to give 10% better CPU performance. Okay. Before I get to the Snapdragon 7 Gen 1, I think the 8 Plus Gen 1, aside from the interesting positioning of the Plus, I want to see this on an actual device, because from what I've heard from various sources is that the problem of the Snapdragon 8 Gen 1 was the heating problem, and Qualcomm shifted from Samsung, which was used in the Snapdragon 8 Gen 1, to the TSMC foundry. So I'm kind of wondering if that's enough, or that is the main problem for the heating. I'm not too familiar with the difference between the Samsung foundry and the TSMC foundry, but yeah, I'm very interested to see, like, how much is it better than its predecessor, and like, did they fix the heating just by shifting the foundries? Have you used the Snapdragon 8 Gen 1 phone, Eman?
I think to add a quick side note dun sa, speaking of, since we recently talked about the model names and tiering, I liked how Snapdragon gave up on the naming scheme, kasi dati, diba, yung models nila for their processors were 835, 6 something, 345, and now they're like 8 Gen 1, 7 Gen 1.
You know, I think I wrote on the when they made the naming change, it kind of made sense for me, because they're at the, I think 9,000 or 900 already.
Yeah, 900
data. Yeah. And then they had an 800. No, they were at 800. Like 888 is really last one.
Oh yeah.
And then they had the 700. And then, you know, you go the further down the line. The problem with the way they name their chips and how fast they release their chipsets is that where do you go once you reach 799, right?
Yeah.
You go straight into 800, which is its own tier. So, oops. Like, the shift into Snapdragon 8 Gen 1 kind of makes sense more.
Yeah.
Because you kind of hit a brick wall. They kind of... I mean, given that they didn't release as much chipsets back in the day, their naming convention kind of worked for me. But with how it is right now and how often they release it, the tier, aka the first number, which is Snapdragon 8 or 7, and the generation is just way easier to memorize, right? Yes. Does CPU do that? They kind of do, right? But not as direct.
Yes, not as direct.
Yeah,
but, it's a good step, and I hope more brands will follow. True. I imagine just getting. I'm good with the pro or plus naming scheme as long as everything can be easily followed, especially for the consumers, no? And of course, it makes writing a bit easier. Kasi, di ba, how about if you encounter typos pag sulat ng model? Oh, model 6. What's the second digit?
reminds of the PC space. I know since I joined the tech world that the first number in Intel or AMD is the generation, right? Yeah. So Intel Core, for those that are listening and, you know, aren't familiar, you know, so you have Intel Core, the it's either 3, 5, or 9. 3, 5, 7, 9. And then you have a number in front and then the number after. My problem is the number after. I know that the current generation is a 12th generation. So anything with a 12 in the beginning, I know is a 12th generation. So like my processor right now is a 7th gen because it's a 7 in front, which kind of makes sense. But it's a number after that. Oh, I don't know.
So usually before 12th gen or actually 10th gen entered for Intel, it's actually easier. It was easier to identify, but now since we have 10 gen and above, so it's actually 5 digits for the actual CPU name. So how you read it is the first two digits indicate the generation.
Okay.
And that only applies to 10 gen and above. So 10900K, 12900K, 11900K. The first digit after those two, so the third digit indicates the ranking for its sub tier. So you have the i9, it ranks it as i9, right? So and then you have the 12900K. So meaning 9 is actually the highest number since you can't round it up to another digit. Yes. So you have the 12900K, and then if Intel has to release a newer or a higher processor, they could edit the second digit, which we can make it to 12950K, which is what AMD does. But for Intel, they just add a new letter. So 12900KS. So that's the actual flagship for the 12th gen line. So it gets confusing. But on the lower end side, you have the same. The same story that applies. So usually for IT devices, you have 1, 3, 4 for the i3. So 10100, 10200, 10300, 10400. Mm-hmm. And once you go to the 4 or 5 series, you go up a tier. So for the i5, you have 10400, 10500, 10600. Then for the 7 series, it's 7 and 8, and then 9. Then mga 850, but for Intel they have these letter modifiers that indicate whether the CPU has
overclocking.
An integrated graphics or not, mm-hmm. overclockable or not. So F usually means there's no iGPU. K usually okay. means it's overclockable. D means it's a low-powered variant, so it's for NUX, mm-hmm. mga small boxes. S is usually their special edition or it's basically pre-overclocked. So for AMD, you have the X and the non-X is actually pretty simple. But they have these 50 tierings that I talked about. So, but it's easier to place them or to imagine where they fit across the lineup. So I think for CPU, for mobile CPUs, you only have Snapdragon with a decent tiering for each gen. Kasi for, you know,
it just simplifies things.
Yeah, you mentioned Dimensity chips earlier. What does ever mean? I mean, you have the first digit, which I can relate to, but the second and third are for what? Diba? And of course,
it's just based on whatever you want. Yeah.
Random number generator.
No, because I think like the 1050 is better than the 1000. Again, that's where it's all muddled.
Yeah, higher means better.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So you kind of got the rail there, but for those who are listening, I hope you learned something about your naming scheme for your PC chipsets. If you're upgrading or whatever, I hope you consider yourself educated. Also, welcome back, Eman.
Yep.
Better camera. So I was saying, like, the Qualcomm released the Snapdragon 8 Plus Gen 1. It's 30. It's more efficient, you know, and all that good stuff. I know you've reviewed a Snapdragon 8 Gen 1 phone. Yes.
Did I?
Haven't you?
I haven't.
Oh. Actually,
I haven't.
Interesting. I haven't.
I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't.
So have we reviewed an Snapdragon 8 Gen 1 or is it all with
with
Boss Chief GN?
Yeah, it's with GN.
Oh, okay. Because I was gonna ask, like, how have you experienced heating? I know GN's in chat. GN, have you encountered heating on a Snapdragon 8 Gen 1 as people have mentioned? Because for the Snapdragon 8 Plus Gen 1. They shifted from Samsung to TSMC for Foundry. And Samsung is kind of known for the heating, especially their Exynos chips. So I wonder why that is and if that's a big... If that change is enough for the heating to be solved. Because heating, I think, is the biggest problem of the 8 Gen 1. Some of the devices that are expected to arrive, Asus ROG, Black Shark... ROG Phone 6, I think, is confirmed. Realme, what is it? Master Edition? Explorer Edition? Was also confirmed to have an 8 Plus Gen 1. And I think Motorola is also set to release one soon. I'm not sure about the Plus, like how much exactly it is. Okay, this from GN. So far, the Galaxy S20 Ultra and Poco F4 GT have been able to manage the thermals very well in my experience. Okay, so it's... I wonder what the heating problem is, but that's very interesting. Thank you for the insights, Mr. GN, because none of us has covered an 8 Gen 1, apparently. But yeah, I'm not sure about the half step increases. Based on your experience, Eman, can you tell the difference whenever there's a plus? Is that something that you can...
Whenever there's a plus?
I consider that a half step as an upgrade instead of a full upgrade.
It's sort of... I think usually when they go with a plus, it's like... alam mo nang may parating na bago, no?
Yeah.
It's sort of the last step, you know, before there's actually a new processor. No?
Mm.
So alam mo na yun. So it's sort of parang, yeah, for those who want this sort of extreme, no? Extreme parang performance. Now, unfortunately, I haven't actually used one before. No? Mm-hmm. I haven't used any device with the Plus. Mm-hmm. So I really cannot say if there's a visual difference that you can actually tell.
Yeah.
No? But the problem kasi is, you know, a lot of games these days, again, they don't even support anything more than 60 frames, no? So, in a way, hindi ko alam kung mapapansin mo yung consistency siguro. Siguro with sort of things that you can look at will be yung frame drops, no? Ano? Gaano consistent will you get that 60 FPS, no? Kasi some phones can maintain that longer than others, depende sa thermal performance, no? Sa cooling din, no? Kasi there's like magpipiki ang performance and then it's gonna throttle down, obviously, kapag nang-init. So it's a sort of siguro when you have kasi a more robust cooling like in gaming smartphones, siguro yun yung mga talagang mapapansin mo yung difference, no, in terms of throttling, no, kasi siguro mas matagal nilang masusustain, no, they can sustain the performance longer than phones without, you know, dedicated cooling. So mga ganun, but I guess in terms of day-to-day performance, I don't think you'll actually notice the difference, no, between the Plus and the non-Plus, no. I actually don't even think that you'll be able to notice the difference between a high mid-range chip and a flagship chip in everyday performance, diba?
True, true.
It's not like, you know, pag mag-YouTube ka, mas mabilis mag-YouTube yung isa kaysa sa isa, diba? No, diba?
Very true.
Hindi naman ganun. So again, mapapansin mo lang siguro yun in gaming, probably. Dun lang. And you have to be probably playing a game that is very resource intensive. Sabihin na lang ating Genshin Impact, ganyan. Para talaga makita mo yung kung hanggang kailan niya kayang i-sustain yung performance.
Yun lang yata yung pinaka-intensive.
Yeah, so far, yun pa lang naman.
Yeah.
But again, Genshin Impact, again, it doesn't support anything above 60.
Yeah.
So, again, hindi pa rin niya, in a way. But again, it's so hard to as far as I'm concerned, it's so hard to even get to the, ano, to the limit, no? Even with flagships.
Yeah. True.
For Genshin Impact. Sabihin talaga, so ganun siya ka-demanding. No?
Mm-hmm.
It's either ganun talaga siya ka-demanding or it's sort of an optimization issue. No? Pwede rin naman kasi hindi pa siya optimized dun sa mga bagong chips or it's really parang hanggang ganun lang talaga. No? Maybe the engine doesn't permit to go over that, no, or something. Maraming factors, right? Ayan. I mean, bottom line is, if your concern is everyday performance, I don't think you'll notice the difference. But if you really want, you know, kung gusto mong manigurado that you're getting the very best of the best, then, you know, lalo na pag competitive gaming ka, competitive gamer, I guess, doon mo mapapansin siguro yung difference. Especially when you probably play yun nga, resource intensive or fast-paced FPS, no? Like CODM.
kaso sa PC.
Well, that's me. No? Also, we played on the phone. Pero doon mo mapapansin siguro, no? Doon papasok lahat yun. Kasi probably yung latency and yung refresh rate ng phone mo, no? Yung polling rate niya, no? It's down to so many things, no?
True.
That sometimes ang hirap sabihin na it's really just the processor, no? No, not really. I mean, there are so many things. So there could be something running on your phone that apart from that.
Na hindi natin alam.
Yeah. Na hindi mo alam, di ba? Mm-hmm. It could be the software, it could be your battery, it could be your thermal performance, it could be yung cooling na phone mo, di ba? Could be your network, di ba? So, so many things, no? Mahirap ma-quantify talaga.
Hmm, true.
Mahirap mapansin, kumbaga.
Sabi ni Gian sa, ano, sa chat natin, Xiaomi 12 Pro was actually quite hot, but performs good nonetheless. Interesting. So out of the Snapdragon 8 Gen 1 that Gian reviewed, it's the Xiaomi 12 Pro that he experienced it. He also says Ni No Kuni Cross Worlds will be the next benchmark of gaming with intense graphics. I have not checked that out.
Diablo.
Diablo Immortal, oh. Actually. I think Apex would be a good benchmark. I also use Apex nowadays for benchmarking.
Kaya lang pa kasi baby pa kasi eh. I mean, kaka-release lang eh. So
true.
So it needs a lot of optimization.
Optimization. But it's still a better no offense to your no offense to your COD Mobile.
It's okay. But I don't really play it on the phone, so
that's true. For those that are tuning in, listening or whatever, Eman, please cut mobile on PC.
Yeah. I play it on Game Loop. The official emulator for Tencent. So legal yun.
So is it intensive for on the PC?
It's more of hindi pa siya ganun, hindi ganun kaganda yung optimization niya. It will run well.
Uh-huh.
Almost probably similar to a phone. No?
Mm-hmm.
But ramdam mo na merong paminsan-minsang
stutter.
Kasi hindi nga siya talaga pa ganun ka-optimized.
Yeah.
It still needs some work on that part. Pero in terms of I guess when after your first game, you should be fine. kasi nag-load na lahat.
Nasanay ka lang.
Mm-hmm.
And yun din, sabi ni Gian, you can pair it with the keyboard and mouse.
Yep, automatic yan. When you play Game Loop, you get karamihan ng mga kalaban mo device. Either naka-controller or naka-PC din, probably.
True. For those that wanna check out our articles on the MediaTek, the new MediaTek chipsets, the Qualcomm chipsets, and the AMD processors, you guys can check that out on Gadget Pilipinas. Speaking of AMD, we now go to AMD, which I think I'll pass it on to Grant because this is his bread and butter, and I think he'll explain it to you guys so much better. So let's pass it on to Grant.
Motherboard na naman.
So, let's go.
I'm just waiting for my article to load. So for those in the chat, you can load up the overview article on our website, www.gadgetpilipinas.net. And of course, Computex has officially started. And of course, what better way to announce for the start of Computex with an AMD keynote, no? So it's actually a traditional thing for AMD to do these kinds of announcements. So the past Ryzen processors were all announced at Computex. The very first Ryzen processor event, which is actually my last Computex. Grabe, so hype. And of course, ito kasing Ryzen 7000 series. Late ako nag-ising for this event. For some unknown reason, na yung Windows 11 PC ko nakamute pag nag-a-alarm. Pero pag once ginalaw mo yung mouse, bigla kang magbablast ng tatlo or apat na sunod na sounds ng iba-ibang alarm. So parang may delay. So quick side note. So
nice.
Going back to the Ryzen 7000 series. So it's actually a first time for AMD, no? So there's a lot of first. So it's the first LGA socket for AMD. So just to just to give users a quick rundown on the LGA socket. Basically, yung pins, kung ano yung nakasanayan nyo for AMD processors, yung processors na nandun yung pins, nalipat siya sa motherboard. So, the main reason for switching is to provide better power delivery and stability daw for the new processors. So,
okay.
I guess there's that. It's basically more pins eh. Kasi if you put the pins on the CPU, you're actually limited lang kasi dun sa space ng CPU kasi yung contacts ng pin mismo take up a lot of space versus pag nasa motherboard siya na nandun na and you have the CPU only having the parang gold points, the touch points, di ba? The thinner side of the pin, di ba? Touching the CPU. It's actually more more efficient, no? In terms of connectivity or putting up more pins. So, at least, no? You don't have to be that much careful na in handling the new processors. And aside from the first LGA socket transition, it also has a new socket, AM5 na yung tawag.
Naku po.
And so patayan na naman tayo sa review. So like, when I finished writing, sabi ko, ang dami na namang motherboards. Especially with the new chipsets which we'll discuss later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it will support DDR5 memory finally, but what I'm concerned about is there seems to be no DDR4 support, unlike with Alder Lake na supported both DDR4 and DDR5. Now, ano ibig sabihin nito for us consumers? So basically, the overall platform cost is a bit higher, or of course much higher than Alder Lake, kasi you have the option nga to preserve your existing DDR4 memory on Alder Lake should you go for a DDR4 motherboard, but that option isn't available on the new AM5 platform. So nako, AMD, baka mas mahal na naman kayo. but to compensate, AMD announced na yung AM5 platform nila or the mounting socket will be compatible with existing AM4 coolers. So, may tipid ka on that side. And basically, wala kang issue in terms of compatibility. And if you really have a cooler that you like, you have no problems using the new AM5 platform. So, there's that. And of course, these new Ryzen 7000 series processors are built under a new architecture, or basically it's the new Zen 4 architecture. So AMD has finally adapted, no, to the recent CPU trend. So you have the Apple M1 or Apple Silicon, new Apple Silicons that have core chiplet designs, and you have Alder Lake with the P&E cores. So AMD has their own variants, which is a mix of what they did previously. So they actually have the chiplets design dun sa mga high-end processors nila, like the 3950X and the 5950X, no? Yung isang block, as you can see for those watching, yung gold, the gold boxes, is a set of Zen cores. So it could be 8 cores per box or 16 cores per chiplet.
Mm-hmm.
And you just actually add those to make a more powerful processor. But then you have the all-new I/O die. This is the first. And the new I/O die is basically the thread director for Intel, or plus the extra bits of controllers that you have. So the DDR5 and PCIe Gen 5 controllers nandun din. And what's a first for AMD also is the inclusion of RDNA 2 graphics, or basically integrated graphics across all of their Zen, or across all of their Ryzen 7000 series processors.
Nice.
So basically wala na dapat APU, or basically this Ryzen 7000 series is an APU per AMD's specs, diba? So it's now toe-to-toe with the Intel Core series offerings. But AMD might offer parang F variants katulad nung sa Intel, which doesn't have the RDNA 2 graphics. So, but to me, I see it as an added cost, diba? Kasi you have another GPU. So, moving forward, the new chiplets are in 5-nanometer lithography. So, this is made by TSMC, the same ones that make your phone.
Mm-hmm.
So, the I/O die, on the other hand, is 6-nanometer. Now, we don't have any information why magkaiba yung lithography ng different chiplets natin. But I guess it's more of a cost-saving measure. And I think yung 6 nanometer is designed by AMD mismo or fabricated somehow by AMD, which is magkaiba yung fabrication process kasi versus TSMC. So that's one possible theory. And what's interesting about these new processors kasi is, apart from the yung technical specs na double the L2 cache, which translates into faster loading times, yung 15% single-threaded uplift is the clock speed. So technically, this will be the first, I believe, CPU that will run above 5 gigahertz out of the box. Unlike kasi sa Intel, it's only turbo boost speeds which last up to 3 minutes at most depending on your cooling. So ito, I think this is full all cores na 5 plus gigahertz. So AMD actually showed a demo playing Ghostwire Tokyo on an unnamed chip. So yung speeds na pinakita doon was actually hovering around 5.3 to 5.5 gigahertz, but no other information was revealed. And from the design, I'd like to talk about design for those watching. Ako lang ba o napapangitan din kayo? What can you say? It really bothers me. Parang
It's one of those things that you'll get used to.
Actually,
for those that are listening in, the design of the back, the part of the CPU which you usually see, it's no longer just a flat piece of metal. There are now cutouts in between the corners and the middle of the chipset. I don't know if you guys can visualize that or if I described this properly, but you can check it out on gachapilipinas.net. But yeah, I don't know. how is the cooling for this? Do you think it'll be better because less metal or
no? It's actually slightly better dapat because you have more metal. I mean, compared to an Intel chip kasi you don't have those parang segments that span across the entire processor. Diba, if you can remember those Intel CPUs, they have parang blank area dun sa PCB. So, technically, surface area-wise, yung heatsink or the included IHS, integrated heat spreader, is actually larger. So, it should provide more cooling, but I'm not so sure about the thermal paste kung paano siya mag-spread out and how will that affect, you know, the overall cleanliness or force cooling ng device. But parang yun nga, surface area wise it should provide better cooling, but if you have more cores that generate heat, then it's basically break even, or you know, it's not a direct apples to apples comparison.
Legit question though, like for those that put so much thermal paste, you know, there's the people that put more thermal paste than needed. Do you think it'll fall off the sides?
Yeah, that's actually a case because for me with my previous AM4 motherboards, there were instances na yung spillage nung thermal paste actually went through the socket, but it's not worrying. But it can get quite messy, and of course you don't know how it will affect your system. But may mga YouTube channels and YouTube shorts na what happens if you put thermal paste underneath the socket. So there are videos that show that it will still work, but not so sure long term.
No, but with this new chipset, based on the design, there are like cutouts on the left and right, and the top and the bottom.
Well, it should be sealed, naman. But I think those transistors should have been covered.
Yeah.
Kasi exactly. What happens if you chip it off, di ba, accidentally, or you know, parang while mounting the cooler, the edge
can get
by a screwdriver or something.
It'll be interesting to see how the
kasi that the CPU is actually very crucial, no, kung may maling pin lang dyan or kung may shorted dyan, it can actually affect the entire system to either the entire system getting shorted, mm-hmm, or
exactly,
much worse, Happy New Year. There are some places, and usually it's these transistors that make the difference, no?
Yan usually ang kaliit ng transistor. Oh, really?
Yeah, yung sa for GPUs, ha, yan yung mga parts na mapapansin mo na naiihan ng taga or parang may mga burnt marks. So for CPUs, I'd say good luck sa manufacturing ni AMD. And that is super durable.
That and parang di mo mas madali yung ano, yung flat chip back, whatever you call it, backplate. Di ba siya mas madaling i-manufacture na walang butas?
Yeah, dapat mas madali sana, or at least parang kahit hindi na nakadikit, di ba? Yung parang some sort of cover lang.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll see in the near future, kasi for AMD, they haven't sent any PRs or any parang previews. So I think this will be one of the most asked questions once AMD provides a briefing, or as we get close to the fall 2022 launch date. So
yeah,
moving on, we have new AM5 motherboards now. So as mentioned earlier, these new AM5 motherboards will be compatible with AM4 coolers, and of course, as mentioned, I think it's exclusive to DDR5 and Gen 5 support. PCIe Gen 5, sorry. So you have three new chipset tiers. So previously, kasi AMD has an A chipset, a B chipset, mm-hmm, and an X chipset. This time around, the lowest tier is the B chipset, B650. And then you have the next tier, or the middle tier, the X670. And of course, for the next tier, or the top end tier, you have the X670 Extreme. So you have the E. So before Ryzen 7000 launch, AMD actually launched the X570E chipset, or basically the refresh motherboards. No, so these were the motherboards that can run the 5800X3D out of the box. So it's basically the top of the line stuff. No, so if you want Gen 5 connectivity all the way, and special note that there's no Gen 5 device available at the moment, and I think in the next year or so it's paper spec to me. But what I'm curious is, it's how extensive is the overclocking support on the E versus on the non-E or the regular X670. So going back, the B650 offers PCIe Gen 5 storage. So you have one M.2 slot probably that will have Gen 5 storage, but the rest of the slots are Gen 4. So that's the compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you don't have the overclocking support, or at least on paper, it's not listed. But hopefully it will support overclocking for the, at least for the mid-range products. So for the X670 naman, both the storage and the graphics, or the X16 lane on the motherboard, are PCIe Gen 5. Not that it matters, so it's only paper spec. Fun fact, the current Ryzen RTX 3000 graphics cards, and even the Radeon RX 6000 series, don't fully maximize the PCIe Gen 4 bandwidth, so I don't think Gen 5 will be a big deal for the new cards, no? The new, okay, RTX 4000 or Radeon RX 7000 series, kasi for this generation they can't maximize the Gen 4 bandwidth, no? What more for Gen 5, which basically has double the bandwidth of Gen 4. Yeah, and meaning it's an X chipset, diba? So you have overclocking support on both the E and the non-E variants. And I think, yeah, that's pretty much it for the motherboards. So, of course, the motherboard brands have announced their X670E and X670 P670 motherboards. I don't think there's a brand that announced P650 motherboards yet. Mm-hmm. So far, I think RAM wrote the Asus motherboards, tama ba? Or it's in PR pa lang. Kakasend
not
lang
sure.
Yeah, so I expect more X670 news from us, no? Yep. Paunti-unti kasi ang dami ng text announcements. And this is from AMD alone, so kita mo yung ripple effect that AMD announced a new processor plus motherboards, and of course brands will follow. So
yeah,
there's that. So for pricing and availability, there's no leak yet on the pricing tied to rumors or speculation. No one is ballsy enough to give a good estimate kasi nga ang daming first time for AMD, so the R&D cost could be so expensive na baka mas mahal ulit ang AMD over Intel. So, there's that. And of course, yung, the exclusive DDR5 support, dropping of the DDR4, and of course, Gen 5 connectivity. So kahit paper spec yan, there are certifications that you have to get, and of course, more contact pins that you have to solder to get that bandwidth, and of course, that comes with an extra cost. And speaking of availability, so ang projected availability niya is fall 2022. Now for the Philippines, which doesn't have fall, it's always summer. Summer lang with aircon sa gabi.
Sabi ni Eman, ako palang mahal na. Loko lang. Loko lang. Random access.
No, seriously, I mean, DDR5, diba?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, DDR5 can cost you around 15K minimum. Kasi there's the new standard is 16 gig kits na eh. You don't have 8 gig kits anymore. So, that alone.
I was gonna ask, like, because you said that it has AM4 socket support, tama ba? Remember it right, yeah. Is that enough to free up your budget for the DDR5? Because you're stuck with, you're forced to go DDR5? Or
no, because coolers can range you from 1,000 pesos to all the way to 15,000 for the pre-built ones.
Uh-huh.
But memory can range from DDR4, if you go DDR4 on Alder Lake, for example, you can just get a 3K peso memory, that 16 gig 3000 megahertz average, and you're good to go, and you're good to game and even edit photos or videos. But if you were to go for a 16 gig kit, even the lowest end, I think it will set you at around 10,000 pesos, and that's the naked memory, no? Yung walang heatsink pa. So,
Jesus Christ!
Diba? And of course, the problem is with these early new modules kasi,
yeah,
you don't get the 1:1 jump no performance ng DDR4 to DDR5.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, if I were to get yung a similar jump ng DDR4 to 5, say a 3000 megahertz memory, I'd have to buy a 6000 megahertz RAM, diba? And that cost around 22k, if I recall correctly.
Oh my goodness,
for that exact same, for that speed. No, if you're getting that tier, so 3,000 pesos versus 4,000 pesos for the direct upgrade, or 3,000 pesos versus the 10,000 pesos for the lowest offer, so 7k peso, or an almost $200 peso price difference can make you upgrade or not. That's basically what almost 4 games, tama ba? And in Tim Burton's currency, that's about 15 to 20. No, sorry. That's about 100 Tim Burton's large ice cone.
Ay, Dios mio, Jesus Christ. So, when do you estimate it arriving in the Philippines, given your experience with these kinds of releases?
So lucky enough for AMD, we're not left out in terms of availability, no? Kahit limang peraso yan, meron pa rin dito. So at least we get to experience the same day launch. And of course, even though only a few of us can get these CPUs, it's still available on paper. Diba? So, fall, per my Google research, is around September. So, but we don't expect it to be readily available the moment fall comes. So, I'm expecting at least October here in the Philippines. Worst case, if ever logistics is a problem, November. Kasi that's what we got when the Ryzen 5000 series arrived. And, of course, the main problem here is once it arrives, you can't buy just the processor. It's always it's always bundled
with a motherboard.
Yeah, and based on the recent Philippine store practice, you need to buy the trio. So you need to buy the CPU, the motherboard, and memory. And sometimes the problem with these bundles is you would have to compromise on your selection because not everything can be bundled or not everything is bundled the way you like it. So for example, I want a top-end motherboard but I want a normal spec RAM because I want to upgrade later in the future or something. Usually top-end motherboards get paired with top-end RAMs, so that's the problem. You have no choice but to spend more. And I think the overall platform cost, let's say you have 30,000 for a Ryzen CPU. I think that's a Ryzen 7, let's say. Ryzen 7, 7000 series. Then you have for the motherboard, I think X670 motherboards will cost around 20 to 25,000. So that's around 50 to 55 na running bill. If you go for decent memory, let's set it at 15,000. So 50 to 55 plus 15 is around 65 to 70k.
Yeah.
So that's for the trio.
Kakapang GPU niya.
And wala pang GPU. At pati power supply, syempre.
May bago pang GPU na dahil.
Yeah, and may upcoming GPUs pa.
Diba? Ay, Diyos mio.
Discuss in future episode.
True.
But, another problem is even though you have existing cooler support on the new motherboards, it doesn't mean that the cooler can handle the higher TDP of the Ryzen 7000 series. So you might
you basically need a new everything. Okay?
Yeah.
Yun na lang yun. Basically,
so I think 60k bare minimum.
Gian, handa ka na.
Nako, kailan? Si Gian pa.
The target is 60k.
Handa na ba kayo, guys, mag-upgrade?
Ako, handa na akong mag-cheer sa mga mag-upgrade.
So do you suggest, like, for those that are, you know, looking to upgrade, where do you think is a safer option, the pass 1000 GN? do you think they should go for the 7000 and kind of quote unquote future proof themselves, or do they go lower for the 5000?
Let's say if you're coming from like the 5000 series or the 3000 series.
Yeah, let's say you're going from 3000, parang pag-isipan mo kung gusto mong kung mag-upgrade ka to the 5000 series. Would you, like, given the paper specs of the 7000 series, would you recommend someone coming from a 3000 series to upgrade the 5000 or wait for 7000?
For those those coming from the Ryzen 3000 line, it's actually a viable upgrade path for the 7000 series.
Mm-hmm.
Now, provided, of course, provided you have the capacity, but also, but more importantly, I should say, is that you're after the CPU performance uplift, no? Or specifically, mm-hmm. you're doing something with the CPU apart from gaming.
Mm-hmm.
So the same is true for Intel side. So for Intel side, I'd advise those having at least 9th gen and below. 9th gen, I think it's still good. And considering that the platform cost for Intel was higher previously on versus AMD, kasi sino pa sila yung mas mahal dati.
It's a yeah, trip.
But so, the GPU gets the priority if you're looking to upgrade, no, for this year.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a Ryzen, I'm sorry. If you don't have an RTX 3000 GPU, then you should get one, or at least wait for the upcoming 4000 series, which I think it's rumored to launch this fall then. So I think it's a first time in a few years that we have CPU and GPU launches in the same quarter, no, that will be mm-hmm. available in the same quarter. So what is money, paper only.
Yep.
And again, I'm ready to cheer. Hey guys,
let's go, guys.
Congrats, upgrade niya.
To be honest, when I heard the na DDR5 lang yung your Ryzen 7000 series, like
it's expensive. So
yeah,
I think it will take another year, so probably around mid 2023 to make this DDR5 prices drop, especially that there's still a global shortage. Yeah. And I think logistics shortage, no?
Yeah.
Side note, hindi pwede mag-large fries sa McDo.
Siyempre eh.
Diba?
Pati Jollibee yata eh.
Pati Jollibee. So, it's a logistics shortage, not only in the food industry, but as a whole.
Siyempre, there's a factor of scalpers.
Mm-hmm. True yun din.
Diba? Yeah,
there's a factor of
scalpers. Kami yung nangyari lang nung last launch eh.
So
actually even CPUs,
no, diba?
So like my even my as long as it works mentality, I think and your what, budget if your budget
CPU is are you on ba?
I'm a 7600.
7600. Edi target market ka nung Ryzen 7000.
Then. Target market ng 7000 is our people with high with deep pockets because of the DDR5 RAM. Let's be honest here.
maybe if like you're not gonna go overclocking, maybe you can wait for the B-series boards, no? Kasi makakatipid ka talaga doon.
Oh, yun din. Pero honestly, like doon pala sa DDR5 and with my with my little knowledge of the PC escape, mm-hmm. like I already know that that's not gonna fly.
Yeah, DDR5 is very expensive kasi parang a few months ago I was looking for a DDR5 modules to buy para sana sa test bench kesa mag-antay ng newer models kasi there were already higher end models that were available, and the RAM that I liked for the test bench na para sana hindi na mag-upgrade even after 2 years, no, I can still use it sana for the test bench.
Yeah,
was priced at 32,000. Much higher than I paid for on my 12900K. So, nope. It was a Corsair Dominator 62 6400 megahertz memory. So it's very expensive, pero in DDR4 terms, it's basically the 3600 megahertz na kasi halos. So yun sana yung sweet spot for DDR5.
Mm-hmm.
But it's too sweet, I can't afford it.
For those that are listening into the podcast, when I heard the 30k price tag, I was shaking my head very violently.
guys, sabdan nyo, we find ways.
So
I find ways to deplete my bank account.
Meron tayong paraan dyan.
Yeah,
so alam mo na yan.
True.
Meron tayong kaibig.
Yeah. But it's a pretty interesting landscape right now for like processors, regardless if you're into PCs or desktop and whatever space you're in. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Grant and Emma, before we wrap it up?
I'm good.
Anything good about the AMD?
Good luck na lang sa mga
ika nga, may the odds be ever in your favor?
Oo, ako masaya.
Ikaw, Grant.
Napawalk out si Eman sa
place. Oo. Well, para sa mga nakikinig at nanonood, ayun na si Eman na nag-drop out. Dahil yata sa presyo.
Sobrang taas ng presyo.
Anyway,
masaya pa ako sa meron ako. So,
yeah.
I don't really feel, I'm not really compelled to upgrade. Because it boils down to kasi kung if your current machine, you know, if it does what you want it to do,
mm-hmm.
I think it, unless you're the type of person na gusto laging latest, or you're really coming from like a very very old system,
yeah,
na talagang, you know, gumagapang na yung PC mo sa performance, then I guess it's the time na you have to consider kahit pa unti-unti. No, you don't really have to get everything at once, no.
Mm-hmm. I think Eman makes a really good point. Huwag siya na ma-excite sa upgrade. Lalo na kung di kaya ng budget.
Yeah. Oh, eh, sino ba yung lagi excited mag-upgrade?
Wala naman sa atin.
Andun, sa somewhere. Andiyan, sa chat room.
Hindi, sa ano, mga ating mga listeners. Kasi, maraming ma-excite. Parang, uy, may bagong AMD or gano'n. I think in general, like, you, if you're listening to this, you have to basta may pera.
Oh yeah. Why? Kasi sino yung may pera?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think you should set your expectations to, yeah, you know, you should live within your means.
Lalo na ngayon, diba? Kasi very uncertain.
It's very hard, especially like we'd never know what will happen in the following month.
Yeah.
There could be an outbreak there could be something like that. You never know. Baka magka-shortage ulit for whatever reason.
Priorities, guys.
Yeah. Ikaw, Grant, may last words ka ba sa AMD? Baka naman.
AMD, please don't be greedy.
And with that note, that has been a discussions on processors. I hope you guys enjoyed. We covered quite a lot, even the the naming conventions of Intel and AMD, which Grant gave us a brief lesson on while waiting for Eman to come back. Before we end, what can we expect from the PC side of things, Mr. Grant Soriano?
So I'm freeing up my slate for the upcoming 7000 series. It's mostly just the leftover bits ng current generation na nagpapahabol pa yung mga brands para ipasulat. But mostly the 3050 RTX 3050 from Gigabyte nakakabalik lang sa akin. And I have a new keyboard and keycap.
Yun. Yeah.
So I just recently bought the iKey 75 tri-mode keyboard and the Ako ASA profile clear keycaps na I have yet to assemble later once we finish.
Hosted, and
probably more laptops since the brands such as MSI, Lenovo, and Asus already announced their 12th gen mobile laptops. No? Mm-hmm. So I think it's overshadowed by the new Computex announcement, but on the laptop side of things, it's pretty exciting, especially their battery life. Because just to give a quick rundown, when I had the Zephyrus M16, so that's the gaming variant of the 12th gen, I had an 8-hour battery life during my testing time. So wow, if you have a gaming notebook, 12th gen gaming notebook, then expect it to perform like an ultrabook, but battery wise. So no longer do you have gaming laptops that are short on battery life, so you can also use them for work na, no? So I think 12th gen laptops might be a good excuse for you to ask your parents to get you one for online learning or for work. For the kids that are listening.
Yeah. There you go.
So yeah, that's it for me.
Nice. What about you, Mr. Eman? I know there's a lot on your plate. Can you give us a
konti lang actually.
what in the near future, what
the joke. If nakita niyo yung post namin kanina about, you know, Asus upcoming launch on Friday, they're launching their newest OLED ZenBooks in the Philippines. Something to be very excited about. Mm-hmm. No? And we're coming up with a lot of content actually planned out for the next few weeks. No? On Friday, you can actually expect a video from us for the ZenBook 14X OLED Space Edition.
Ooh,
and a full review of that as well. A full review of the ZenBook 14 OLED. Yeah, kasi next week pa pala yung review ng Space Ed. And specs rundown ng mga other laptops that are gonna be launched on that day. So it's gonna be a very exciting lineup kung you know, as far as I'm concerned, no, OLED, Asus OLED laptops are, you know, really, really good. Terms, so lalo na sa display. They're you know, there's something that, you know, pag pinahiram ka na, parang hirap ibalik. No?
True.
Sa ganda. Lalo na, if you have the Space Edition, no? That's actually mayroon, you know, screen pa dun sa cover niya. No? So, yeah, those are the things that you can expect from me, at least, no? There are also ano pa ba, phone reviews. Yeah, not anytime soon, but there are actually phones here sa likod ko. Yeah. Realme C35 review will be out probably next week, hopefully. When nakaluwag na konti. Yeah. Ayan. So sa mga naghihintay ng review nun, for worth it siya. Anyway, our first impressions are already up. So, you should be able to get a good grasp if it's worth the price and para sa inyo siya. Also, Vivobook Slate OLED First Impressions is also up. So, kung gahanap kayo ng 2-in-1 na medyo, you know, ganda yung screen, no? na pang YouTube, pang Word, Excel, PowerPoint, pang Facebook, pang email, no? Pang drawing ng konti, konting photo editing. That's a good machine. No? It's not the most powerful in the world, no? Doesn't have so much performance to offer, but if you're looking for that kind of device, no, na pang sabihin natin medyo chill lang siya, no? It's not very, you know, performance focused. You should be able to check that out kung okay siya para sa inyo. No?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's it for me, I guess.
Very nice. For me, I have a Friday will be an interesting day because aside from the laptops, I'll be releasing my first impression on a new Vivo phone. I will not mention as to be on the safer side of life. alam ko na I posted a photo of it I think last week.
Yep.
But I prefer not to mention it for safety purposes. Pero abangan niyo yung it'll be launching on Friday. I'll release my first impression by Friday as well, and a review maybe next week. I think more or less at that time frame. That's on my plate right now. I think GN is also releasing, or at least gonna finish up his GT3 Pro, Huawei Watch GT3 Pro review. So that's also something you can keep an eye out. If you guys want more news and stuff, you can visit our website gadgetfilipinas.net. You can also catch more news on YouTube every Thursday. That's Weekend Tech with GN. I think he'll be talking about Huawei. I'm guessing he'd be talking about Huawei. Huawei, Xiaomi, Leica stuff, and more. So that's an every Thursday thing. If you want to check us out, we're on social media. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok as well if you want stuff. I think GN posted stuff about devices on TikTok, so you can also check that out there. We're all on those platforms, Gadget Pilipinas. If you're listening into the podcast or you want to listen to the podcast again, you can catch us on whichever podcast platform you prefer. So yeah, I think that's it for tonight. We appreciate each and every one of you. For those that listened in and tuned in, thank you very much. This was all about processors, and I hope you guys learned a lot about the PC, the mobile, and everything. Hope everyone enjoyed. I enjoyed. I'm not sure about my colleagues. Did you guys? Yeah. You guys cool?
Yeah, enjoyed and confused.
Very nice. That's it for us. We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you very much.